Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Mel.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
We're good over in the UK. We're currently being fried, although the weathers aren't anything, the temperatures aren't as hot as yours, but we're just not used to it down here. But it's lovely.
It's like getting used to it. I can't really do these real humid climates. So anytime I come out of Oklahoma and I go to, like, I don't know, the South, it might be cooler in temperature, but it's so devastatingly hot because of the humidity. So, you know, it's whatever you're used to.
So we're on our next card, which is the moon, which is, is it 18 you said in the pack of the tarot, which is brilliant. I've so enjoyed this series. And if people haven't tuned into our other tarot cards, I think each card in its own right just brings a whole several layers of understanding, doesn't it?
It really does. And that's one of my favorite things about what we're doing here is we're not trying to teach you about how to use these cards in its basic sense. We're here just to find the deeper meaning in the cards to allow us to grow as much as we possibly can. So we are on the moon. So number 18 on the Fool's Journey. And the moon can represent your imagination getting the best of you. The moon is definitely a heart-led experience for when you're part of this journey. What it is allowing you to do is tap into that deeper intuition because you're not going to be able to see the path in front of you. You're not going to be able to see what's next. It's kind of hidden. You know what you want. You know what you're going after at this point. Remember, we just got through the star card. We've kind of gotten to this place of, okay, I am worthy. I know what I deserve. And now these things that I might want to do, they feel daunting and scary. And I'm not really sure where this path leads, but I know that this is the path I'm meant to be on. So
one, isn't it? Being in the state of not knowing what's happening next. And at the same time, the moon brings up the unconscious past experiences and triggers and all that. That can be really daunting.
And that's part of that imagination, right? How much of our past are we carrying forward with to our future? Just because maybe the way that it didn't work out the last time, you're starting to superimpose that on this experience, but you're not the same person you were the last time. You've grown, you've evolved, you've healed, you've worked through lessons that you wouldn't have otherwise had if you hadn't had this quote unquote failure in the past. And so what the moon is trying to push out from you is getting you to this place of this knowing, this true depth of knowing that you are deserving of whatever this is that you've chosen to march forward with. And even if the path ahead is not well lit, just trusting yourself and whatever the powers may be, you know, be it if you're in a work relationship with somebody, or if you're starting a new pattern with a new significant other of some sort, then, you know, the past can really come up to haunt us. Mm-hmm. It really can start to bring those unconscious imaginings back to the surface. And so the moon's not an easy card. This isn't one of those cards that you're going to be like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I love when the moon comes through the deck. The moon is really going to test your faith. It's going to test your understanding of who you are and make you really question what it is you want in this path, what it is that you're desiring and the worthiness of it. And am I willing to look past all of the doubts and still see myself in this future notion, even if I can't see it fully? And so for me, the moon card is difficult, but it's also really rewarding.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this moon card, because it's brought up so many different ideas for me, you know, going back to the conscious and the unconscious in psychology of, you know, most of the work that we do is moving beyond what we think we know and the ideas that are contained within our minds and moving into exploring the the depths or the shadow aspects, and that's what the moon represents. And it does in yin yang yoga as well. You know, I teach yin yang yoga, so one, the yin and the yang and the yin is the passive and active, but one's the moon, one's the sun, as in Hatha yoga, you know. And it's always about balancing those opposites, and you can go too deep and go into that space, and it, as you say, past experiences help us have trust and faith that we can get through any of those things that are triggered right now.
Yeah.
And one element that has kind of surprised me is, I think we've talked about it offline a few times, that having been women brought, been growing up, you know, I was growing up in the 70s and 80s and experiencing life in a very sexist society, working in a male dominated environment, and having had those experiences, and I've seen, you know, what's happened since the Me Too campaign, for example. And now I'm a woman standing up back now in front of crowds and talking through whether it's the yoga or the meditation or anything that I'm teaching. And I've watched some things lately that has really triggered an anger that I've had about those things that I didn't feel back then. You know, before it was like this accommodating, acceptable, sort of toned down version of what we were seeing in society. And it was, so it's revisiting something that I've always known that has drove me towards personal empowerment, self-empowerment in any of the work that me and you have discussed and what I do. But it's brought a kind of more subtle aspect to it that is still empowering, but has much less tolerance around it, if that makes sense.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, we talk about that value system all the time, you know, and so as you've grown, your value system has changed, and the things that were once mild irritants are now like infestations that you will not stand for. Yeah. And it really does make a difference. The more we've healed, the more we push forward for what's right to us and what we feel is, you know, appropriate and inappropriate, or insert the opposites, some, you know, in a different format. But yeah, you know, the moon is very, you know, for me, it's that you were talking about the yin yang yoga. I did go a little too deep over these last couple of weeks, and I was very in my moon phase, and I was very lost. And so all of, because I was walking this dark path, it was like really bringing up stuff that maybe had been settling too long within me, and I needed to face them again. I needed to have that conversation with myself again. But at the end of the day, you know, it was spurred by this one thing, and it kind of spun out into all of these other little unconscious things that added up to this one thing. It's why I was fearful. And as I navigated my way through the darkness, you know, I was very, for, you know, for a person that's walked this, this journey and been through enough cycles, I've garnered a nice tool belt. I have quite a few accessories to help work me out of any darkness that I'm in, you know, to the point where even when I was in this, and I was telling Mel this earlier, even when I was in this darkness, and I call it my oblivion, I was spinning out in my oblivion, I knew that this was just a phase and that the cycle will end. And I will recognize even before I come up for air, I always call it coming up for air, right? The moment you come up for air and you have that clarity of thought is the moment you really start to engage your tools from the lessons that you've learned. But even this time, I recognize that even when I was still floundering in the water, that I knew that this was not the end all be all. That I knew that whatever was coming up was important, that whatever was coming up that I couldn't see needed to come forward, so that when the sun does start to shine, I won't have carried this baggage, all of this weight with me. And so the moon is necessary. It's scary, but it's necessary for us to really grow as a human being, to really learn to trust ourselves, to really focus on that intuitive, heart-led self that has gotten us so much further than we typically give credit for. So the moon is the element of water. Its ruling planet is Neptune. Now, sometimes you'll see Cancer as its ruling, or I'm sorry, as its zodiac, but it's a Pisces is its zodiac. It is a feminine. And the reason that it's a feminine card is because it is all about your heart seeking your attention. What is it that you need? What are the needs? We're back at the value system again. What are our needs? What is that? The hierarchy, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, you're kind of really working inside of that system. You're allowing these unconscious things to come forward at the same time. And looking at what works, what doesn't work. And just remember that when we're doing this, we really have to be able to accept that we are not the person that we were before this journey began. And those lessons that you learned were just that, learned lessons. So we don't have to be fearful about the path ahead, because no matter what comes our way now, we have a nice tool belt because we've had experiences in the past that have led us to this place. So even though it's dark, you still have this internal compass that is bringing you forward no matter what along your journey. Go ahead.
Going back to the sort of shadow and the unconscious, if somebody's starting the journey for the first time and they've been activated, they're going through a spiritual crisis, or they believe they're having a Kundalini experience, because sometimes that's quite intense for people.
Yes.
One of the themes that have emerged through my sort of personal journey and understandings of what I've read, whether that's psychology, the spiritual realm, is that it can be a really intense experience. And what's really important is that when those fears come up, as we talked on other cards, you know, things come out of the shadows, is not to allow the fears to grip you. So to do whatever you can, call in, you know, support, assistance, breathing through that, any activities at all that help you reduce the overwhelm, ground you, breathe through that, and tap into some level of belief that you actually you'll pass through that. And few of the accounts I've read, some people can go them through them for a few days, some it's a few weeks. And we've seen it with people who will start to have what we call a, you know, psychotic experience under the clinical sort of labeling of mental health experiences. But there's a lot of parallel between these experiences, spiritual emergence, spiritual crises,
100%.
Crises, yeah. 100%. And you can have many versions of that, but for somewhere it's really intense.
Right.
Is it's the fears and getting locked in that, and the anxiety that when you allow that to be activated in your system and it's driving it forward, that's where it can get really debilitating, and that's where it can get quite serious.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to do exactly what Mel said, really try to find a space where you can relax that mind, relax that tension that's going on in your body.
Yeah.
Allow yourself, you know, there's really healthy ways of doing that. And there's also slightly what we would socially call unhealthy ways, but it's still very acceptable. You know, allow yourself to watch the mindless programming. It might help relax the mind. I like to watch, old comedies that I've seen a dozen times. That way, no matter what, I already know what to expect. I don't have to be too into it. And I know it's going to release some good feelings, some serotonin and dopamine out of in my body to counteract. You know, I'm a huge supporter in plant medicine. So these are, you know, I do not recommend by any means any type of consistent leaving your body experiences. I will never condone that, but plant medicine really can help when you're walking this part of the path, because even smoking cannabis or taking an edible can help relax you enough, because we can get really tight and tense, and there has a lot of medical benefits to that. There's also, you know, a lot of studies showing that, you know, this mushrooms and the way it works in your psychology, it can really help you tackle these unconscious things that we're facing in our world. Just make sure that you're psychologically prepared to go in if you're going to do something like that, because it does get deep and you do need to have a sponsor or a shaman or some type of medical advisor for things like this. If this would be like, you know, one of your first times, you know, because like with anything that is mind altering, there's always going to be a setback of some sort. Yeah, there's a consequence.
I think the key aspect there was about being psychologically prepared.
Yeah.
And where people have had some really bad experiences is because they haven't been psychologically prepared, right, or they've walked into or sought on purpose a spiritual transcendence experience,
right,
or push themselves into circumstances they're not ready for, because that's the other thing that can happen when you've come from a trauma background.
You know, I think it's a pretty simple question for me. If you still believe that there is such thing as a bad trip, then you should not be tripping.
Right.
And that's just that, because there's no such thing. It can be difficult, and you can walk through a very difficult path during that. But at the end of the day, it's not a bad trip. It's the things that you need to work through. It's your unconscious mind coming forward and telling you, please help. We deserve to be happier. So some of the key words to pay attention to when you're working with the moon is fear, illusion, subconscious, and intuition. And on the flip side, it's the release of fear, repressed emotion, and inner confusion. So again, the moon going upwards or reversed isn't really consequential in this card, because both represent the inability to see the path forward and still trusting in the guidance system that you've been working on, first time or not. You don't get to the moon, which is number 18, but it is the 19th card since the full zero, on this journey without have working towards some tools that you've garnered all the way back to like the high priestess, you know? Couple of questions is your past creating a fearful future? So for me, I have had this. The moon card always represents that to me. I have had enough experiences in my past that it has almost put me in a frozen position to moving forward. I've been too fearful to face that pain again, to face the potential of failure again, to face all of the feelings that you don't want to face. Okay. It's very difficult. But at the same time, I realized what I was just saying earlier. I've realized that I'm not the person I was when I first learned these lessons. And there's no way I could, you know, I learned the lessons. I'm not coming in blind. I'm not coming in as just the child. The curious child is pushing me forward, but the adult wisdom is telling me to stay on that path. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. Do I trust my intuitive guidance, also known as the quiet guidance? We're not talking about the loud fear. I'm not talking about the ego brain that tells you, no, 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 we've been here before. This is not going to work. That's the part we're trying to train. We're talking about that quiet little voice that says, you can do it. You know, you're worthy. That one that we've squashed our whole lives, that voice, that's the voice you really need to start tuning into. I do recommend Gene Keys and Human Design to really start to figure out how it is that your body responds to intuitive guidance. That is important, because I will tell you that as I'm a projector in Human Design, and as a projector, you have two different really projectors. And I am a splenic, which means that I know immediately, yes or no. I don't have to, there's no or nuh-uh. It's that it's an immediate gut punch, yes or complete no. Other people's have like it literally will tell you,
That's me.
That's you. Mm-hmm. There you go. So your body responds, right? And so everybody has, and then you have the reflectors who are like, it takes them a full moon cycle to work through that emotional understanding and the logical brain to bring them together so they can make that decision. So again, the more you know about who you are, the easier it is for you to guide yourself through this journey. So just, you don't have to know everything about Human Design. It's like a natal chart, right? One quick synopsis, and you know enough about yourself that if anything piques your interest, go and learn it. You don't have to know everything about anything. You just learn enough to know about yourself a little better.
I found that quite fascinating recently, because I got someone to do my Human Design about 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And she talked about the decision-making process, and we talked about it off air, how long it takes me to make decisions sometimes. But actually what I'd noticed throughout the yoga, it sort of naturally started to happen, is when you follow the things that you're curious about, interested in, and you start doing them, some of these things emerge without you realizing. It sits within another model. And through yoga, it is obviously about tuning into the body. And I started to realize what happens when, you know, if you really want something, it'd be like, yeah, you know, and then if you don't, but, you know, maybe. And so what's given me that, Yeah. And so I started playing around with that. And it was a fascinating understanding to look at how to really work out what you want and get out your brain.
And get it out of your brain. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm a firm believer in all of these different products that we can use to help us get to know ourselves better. And it really, you know, this isn't a cheat. This is your coding. So allow yourself to know your own coding and get yourself forward, because we are unique as a fingerprint, right? So the way I work and another way another splenic projector is going to work are not going to be the same in these little subtle energies. So you really, the more you know about yourself, the better. The way you work is just the tools available are beyond comprehension. Sometimes we just have to be able to start looking into them and using them for ourselves. Treat yourself, baby. Give yourself a little information about yourself and allow yourself to grow. I think I mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again because it is important. This card is more about feeling into situations rather than thinking your way through situations.
Yeah.
This is about trusting self. Because if I listened to what my mind had to say over the last couple of weeks, I would have shut it down. I would have been back in hermit mode. I would have not been back to this happy place that I have worked so hard to get to and am so deserving to be in. So I took note of my thinking mind going into overdrive, and I always call it, I overthink about overthinking. I began to settle back into self, which like Mel said, yoga is really good for that stuff, guys. Even if you don't do yoga, get on YouTube and follow some basic yoga poses just to help center yourself, release that. Yeah. Because sometimes the physical body is what you need to get back into. It's not the meditation to clear the mind. You literally need to get back into your physical body. Do I feel worthy enough to walk through this darkness? Now, if you remember, the last card we had was the Star card. And we had mentioned if the card came into reverse, right? Mm-hmm. Which is how I walked in to the last podcast, was with my Star card in reverse. So I had to feel worthy enough to walk through this darkness. And I had to find myself through this space and not this space, not my mental space, in order to realize that I've been here before, but I'm a different person than before, and I can trust myself a little bit more. So immediately the Star card flips itself, the Moon card comes in, and now I'm starting to work through the Moon card's message for me. Mm. So it is important to trust ourselves at this point. It's important to know that no matter what, guys, you're here to learn.
Mm.
And the more you learn, the less, depending on where you are at in this journey, sometimes the goal is just not to get hurt anymore, right? So now you've learned, you've got the tools, you've realized that yourself, you know, your self-worth a little bit more. Now you're in the place of, well, you know, maybe this will hurt a little bit, but it's not going to hurt like before because I'm not expecting it, but I'm aware of its existence. And just being aware of its existence is almost like a prep plan inside of your body. So if that tower does decide to fall again, because it can, that tower, you're not shaken to the core, because those hurt feelings are more like, I'm a little disappointed that this stuff happened, this XYZ happened the way it did, but now I've learned this lesson in it and I can move forward. So again, the Star card walking into the Moon card really is all about trusting yourself, trusting where your heart is leading you, where your intuition is leading you, and allowing those thoughts to be just that, thoughts. Let them move forward. Let them play their games. Pick out what you feel you need to work on and then let the rest of them go.
And the chances are, if we're working through the Moon card, other people are working through the Moon card as well in the tarot. Because as we've talked about on earlier podcasts, is relationships can, you know, you can mirror each other, can't you, in relationships. And when the contents of your own shadow come up, if you're not used to reflecting on yourself at all, or any of the triggers that you've got, or any of the deeper feelings of anger, rage, shame, any of those things that often are sat upon in the shadow, because at the time when you experienced them, it wasn't safe for you to feel them or experience them.
And so your body
has to shut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people either numb out because it's a mechanism that you've deployed, which you're good at, or you've numbed out for using some chemicals in the past. Mm-hmm. And so when they start to pop up, if you're around somebody else where they're also popping up, you've got to go to that place of going, okay, it's okay to be in this really watery, unknown place, but I'm in a different place as an adult. And let me see what I can understand about myself. And that's where it is useful to be going back into hermit mode, because you're less likely to leave devastation around you if you're able to take ownership of the things that are coming up for you. And that can be activated. You know, I watch TV programs sometimes, and I can start that process of watching and be in a really good state, and then start listening to something, and I can get really irritated, annoyed, or whatever. And I'll go, okay, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know, am I tired? Yeah. And is it, you know, or what is it about this information that I'm receiving? So there are beautiful gifts in that. And one of the biggest ones for me is the energy it releases. Anything that you've contained within that shadow aspects of your personality consumes massive amounts of energy, then you can end up in this perpetual cycle of being tired and exhausted, because we're frightened of opening and looking a bit deeper at acknowledging that we feel that way, or taking any accountability for our actions. Yet at the same time as me and you have been talking over the past few months, or past couple of years, we've planted several seeds.
Yes. Yeah.
And those seeds are starting to flourish. And it's like this symbiotic relationship that occurs. But if your mindset is stuck in the way that it was in the past, that is negative, your perspective is slightly distorted, and you think everybody's out to get you because that's what used to happen before, or that when things are nice and going well, it will go wrong at some point, or why did I get offered this? Do I deserve that? Whatever these, as a colleague of mine talks about, core beliefs, they are almost central to your being, that until sometimes you have a big experience, you don't realize what those fundamental core beliefs are, that you need to go, is that true? You know, can I look at that and go, well, actually I took that on board, I didn't realize, but actually that's not true. And that alone is quite difficult for a lot of people to do, because they don't think they deserve to live a life of flourishing and thriving. They think they should be in survival, because that's the way it's always been.
And it's been, and then you're talking about centuries of conditioning through, you know, religious figures and otherwise, you know, what was it? The kings and queens, you know, they were the religious figures of the day for a very long time. And they were God's chosen ones. Therefore you should be meek. So, you know, the one thing that I will say that really helped me in the beginning of my journey was the statement that there's always enough. I'm not taking from anybody. There is always an ample amount of whatever it is that you desire, that you will never take and you are deserving, because there's an ample amount of what it is that you desire. And just by allowing myself to continue to believe in that theory, to believe in that, it really broke me free of thinking I deserved nothing more than what I already had. Mm. Right. Mm. I now know I deserve the world. Now it's up to me if I decide if I'm going to go take that on or not. Right. We're not saying that everybody wants, desires to be this worldwide entity. I get it. You know, sometimes that desire is simple, but knowing that you deserve the world could help that simple desire really manifest in this beautiful garden, this beautiful way. So know that you deserve the world, and then decide how far you want to walk into that. But the first, like Mel was saying, knowing that you deserve is such an important thing.
Yeah. And it takes me, you know, I was telling you that at the weekend I was delivering a couple of classes, and one was on yoga and one was meditation. And one of the things that I said to people, and I can't remember how I got on this bit, but of how your thoughts about yourself and the life that you think you're going to live, or the life that you don't want, actually, because we can often, if there's not much information available to us and we haven't had many experiences of seeing opposite or variety, then we only know that life that we know. Right. And I was saying to the ladies that I was talking to that, you know, I'm 14 years old and I start to realize that the school thinks the only options that are available to me and some of my classmates are to learn typing, because this was pre-computers, mm-hmm. or to get married, you know, and either one. I knew in my core that why are they the only possibilities? Now, I didn't know what the other ones were, because I grew up in an area where you were either, you know, one generation back, you were a mining family, a bread making family. The area that I grew up in were all mill towns where, you know, it was making clothes. It was early cotton mills.
Right.
So I kind of knew that wasn't where I was going to go, and I didn't know anything else.
Right.
But that alone was able to set the sail, because there's something, a core belief that I got from somewhere and I don't know where, that just went, no, that's not right. It doesn't fit. And then you spend some time testing out and travel about or go and get a job. And you've got to keep visiting your core belief, because if you then get in a job and you think, oh, that's great, you might think that's where it all stops. And as me and you have learned on our paths, it never ends. It never stops. They're just continuing process of new experiences.
And to your point with, you know, where you've grown up in America, we are the land of dreams, right? The dreamers, this is where dreamers go to create. But how hard is it to create if you don't walk in with a fresh set of $1,000 bills?
Yeah.
Who are you going to create if you don't know the right people and all the doors are shut in your face? And so this is kind of the America that I grew up in, where I had this beautiful, big imagination, and then I turned adult and all the doors are slammed and I'm finding out the only way in is by knowing somebody. And the only way to know this somebody is by getting in the door, or the way you do it is to buy your way in that door. And so that was very, coming from a middle, you know, a lower middle-class family, that was that level seemed incomprehensible to me. I could never be there. I'm not going to find the right doors. I'm not going to find the right people. I'm not going to, you know, so then you become limited in your mindset. And so I spent, you know, almost two decades after that, really in that mindset. And then I had this beautiful awakening, and through my healing of the trauma and the conditioning, it went from what I don't want to the questions of what do I want? And those questions really would only come out after I finally convinced myself that I was worthy of all the things that I desired as in my youthful experience. Right.
Well, you've touched on a couple of things that, you know, and we're always quite keen in whatever podcast we're doing to emphasize this, that, those contradictions exist all the time in society. You can be brought up, like what you say, in an area where you're led to believe that all these things are at your fingertips, when the reality is, well, no, if you're not brought up in a family where there's any financial freedom and you're struggling all the time, and the belief system is also that that's what your destiny is, then of course it's going to be notoriously difficult to move out of that.
Yeah.
So equality doesn't rule. You know, there is lots of inequality in all sorts of different sectors of society.
Absolutely.
Equally.
Some worse than others, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And equally, you can have opportunities landing in front of you all the time, but if you don't believe you're able to take them up, you don't believe you're deserving and worthy of it, then people can put gold at your feet and you won't pick that up and go
and pick it up.
Make your dreams come true or whatever.
Yeah, you'll turn it into lost and found and hope the government doesn't steal it.
Yeah. So that's a reason to pick up the gold, so the government doesn't pick up the gold.
but really, it's true. And we're talking, like, say you are working in middle management and out of nowhere, somebody comes and offers you top tier management, but because you don't have the experience, but because you don't have the degrees behind you, you automatically assume that you are not prepared for it.
Yeah.
But they saw something in you. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked, right? So if somebody can see something in you, then why don't we just, and I know, trust me, I know, ladies and gentlemen, but why don't we just embrace the imaginings of the potential that you, this person sees in you, and allow that, you know, and I always say, God could hand you, you could be asking God for a cake and God will hand you every ingredient, but because it's not already made and frosting for you, then you're not going to take it. But the reality is these things are happening for us so we can broaden our lesson base, our experience base, our leveling up space. It's all glass ceilings, guys, in this world. It's everything is breaking through. There's no limit. And the more we start to realize that we have that potential, the more we're going to believe in that potential. So the moon card really, it does for me, backs that star card so well, because it's like, oh, maybe one day you're like, I am just infinity. I can do whatever I want. And then the next day a reality comes and smacks you in the face, right? You have writer's block, your creative juices are not flowing. You showed up to work and you messed up five things on a project. And now you're the boss who just offered you this job is kind of like eyeing you in the corner. So now all the self-doubts of this reality come forward, and we have to be stronger than the doubt. Easier said than done, but ladies and gentlemen, you can do it. You just have to, little by little, allow yourself to believe in yourself. It's not, you had mentioned the first round, that this is your first walk through the major arcana. I could see this 100. I could even see it on the second walk. But the reality is you're walking through these major arcana cards so that you can get to that point when this moon comes up to say, you know what? I have all this doubt here and I have these fears here, but am I going to let those make my decisions anymore? No, I'm not. Instead, I'm going to make these decisions based off of what I truly know about myself, what I feel about myself, and allow those to come forward. So yeah, it takes time. It takes effort. Don't beat yourself up. Nobody's asking you to be perfect. We're asking you to try. And the more you try, the more you're going to realize how amazing you are and how worthy you are of every one of these cool experiences that you just say. Mel, you were telling me this earlier. You said, I've just decided to say yes. And what is saying yes doing? It's causing you to believe in yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's making you want to do more things outside of your perceived wheelhouse. It's starting to tap into creative ventures that you otherwise wouldn't have taken had you not decided to try again, not to believe yourself like one more time. And say it's worth it, even if it's always failed, this time it's not. You know, they say you can fall 99 times, get up that 100th. But if you fail that 100th time, get up 101 times, guys. Just allow yourself to do it and just make adjustments along the way. We're not asking you to come in blind and just keep doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yes.
We're asking you to learn your lessons, grow from them, heal from them, and then move forward with a little more confidence in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Utilize the magic of the moon and that period. To know that, you know, the sun always follows the moon. So whether you're going to do it on a new moon, full moon cycle and give yourself that space and time to think and process, or you need to do it in the moment, or you have been offered that job and, you know, everyone's looking at you to do something and you're having that moment of panic, because people sometimes misrepresent anxiety as meaning they shouldn't do something, when actually the physiology is getting excited about moving forward and doing that. And we will make mistakes, because if we still have those doubts there, those doubts need to come up so we can also examine them and go, well, is it true? You know, am I, what's the key one in society? You know, a lot of people think they're a fraud or they haven't got the skills and abilities because they haven't got the certificates. I hear that a lot.
Yep.
That's nonsense. You know, I'd had a lot of really good jobs before I re-educated myself and went into the field that I'm in. And I take on academic staff, and I've actually, my team at the moment is a mixture of high academics as well as highly experienced through personal experience and just nouns and gumption and a desire to make a difference.
Yeah.
And we bring in all of that because that's a beautiful mix on the team.
It does. Yeah. That mixes what are those green, red, orange, and yellow colors to
create
the perfect dynamic, you know, and what you're saying is true because for so long, because I didn't have that degree, that therapy degree, I didn't have the certificate that follows that degree. I thought to myself, who's going to listen to me? Well, the reality is I am so wise in the way I took my journey. I know what I'm talking about because it worked for me and it's worked for other people that I've put into this journey with me. And we've like back and forth have had these conversations and coaching sessions that have realized that I might not have that degree or that certificate, but I do have the wisdom because I walked the path and I healed myself and I healed my traumas and I witnessed other people doing the same path that I do, healing their traumas, becoming better people, value system changes. And so I told myself one day, I don't need the degree to be relevant. I am relevant because I did the work, I did the research, and I have exhausted myself time and again working this program to make myself into the version of myself I saw as a child, to being the woman I deserved to be this whole time. So I'm very worthy of teaching. I'm very worthy of giving advice. And so if I can do that from no experience to where I'm at now, then you can do that with anything, right?
Well, that's how all the wise elders of many of a community who are brilliant with their community or teaching courses or even go wider than that, how they do their thing. It's having the experience. It's sitting back and looking at those things, and then it's learning what it is you learn from that. Yeah. And there are lots of psychological models out there, but there's a hell of a lot of information that's missing from the current scene that helps us understand. Our minds can't really comprehend all of the possibilities to our existence.
Right.
So these are just broad frameworks that each human that's come along and created them have created it from their wisdom and their experience. And then they put it into a framework and then they teach it.
And then they studied it and then it became.
They study it and they share it. However, some of these modalities die out and they're not relevant anymore. So it's that, you're right, it's that mixture of beliefs and values and experiences and capacity to move forward, even if things seem really scary. And, you know, there's nothing worse than being bored and disillusioned. So take that step forward into the unknown rather than staying in the mire of uncertainty and fear, because that's worse.
And stagnation's stinky. And again, you don't want to be the stinky kid. So just continue to grow. Stagnation's always still has that smell to it. So, you know what I mean? That part of the river that doesn't move, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay. So we're moving to the cards. So this is a 6-card spread. And like normal, I'm just going to give you the key word and then kind of a little more behind it. So the first card is darkness. What is unseen? The second card is moon. What is my gut reaction? The third card is reflection. My assumptions and biases. The fourth one, because if you look at the original card, it's the wolf and the dog, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the dog. What can help with clarity? The next one, wolf. What can lead me astray? So remember, you know, the fool card has the trusty companion dog. Right? Yeah. That's your sunlight. That's your friend, your companion, your loyalty. So the dog's clarity. The wolf, it comes out at night, right? So it's the nighttime animal. So it's going to represent shadow. So what can lead me astray? Mm-hmm. Is my imagination taking me to fearful places? And then the last card is path. What is my next step? And with those 6 cards, you should get a generalized idea of what it is that's impacting you, both within, right, with the reflection, and what's going on around you that's keeping you limited, keeping you from taking that next step. You know, Mel has done a really good job with me in this overwhelming state that I get myself into, because I see an entire staircase. And Mel's always reminded motivated me to take that one step that in case could go all the way up to heaven. And that's a scary, that's a daunting task. But the reality is I just need that one step in front of me to keep me from stagnation. I need that one step in front of me to keep me moving forward and motivated. And eventually you're 3/4 of the way up and you're looking back and you're like, holy crap, I'm glad I took that step.
Yeah.
Right. And so Mel, have been like that biggest promoter for me. Cause you know, every time something new comes our way, I'm like, all I can see is the big picture. I'm overwhelmed. And Mel's like, you know what? It's okay to be overwhelmed. Let's focus on this one thing here. And so on the staircase, I have worked my way so far up the staircase because of little lessons that I have decided to take on from people that I trust and care about that want to see the good in me, want to see me live my best life. I have a friend, actually, I'm going to drop her name. Her name is Lissa. I have a friend that always supports me. And I'm always like, why are you so supportive? And she says, because I literally want to see my best friend live her best life.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yes, sister, that is what I'm talking about. You know, so like, it feeds you. So by the way, if you don't have friends like that, go find you some, or at least heal yourself to where you know what you deserve is to have friends like that.
You need your support team around you like that.
Because without my support, because I had the friendship groups where it kept me down, kept me small, kept me paranoid, kept me all of these stagnant energies. And now I have friends that are motivating, pushing, you know, people that I want to be like. And so it's really a shift, but this shift has got me 3/4 up the stairs where I would have still set back or even turned around and walked away from the stairs. So everybody, I really hope that when the moon card or this energy comes your way, that you remember that you are the star of the storyline for yourself. And the star doesn't stop and give up halfway in. The star decides to rise and take up more space and realize who they are in that storyline. So you are deserving of being everything you think that you can be, even when you allow a little doubt to come into play.
Beautiful. And I think my final note is don't let the fears take grip. Mm-hmm. Notice them, write them down, acknowledge them, think about where they come from, park them, don't, you know, smother them and suppress them anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you get overwhelmed, let that go for the moment as you focus on regrounding yourself and regrouping, and then revisit, because the process will always be there, but it's when you either try and reenact everything or suppress everything that you can end up with some problems. So everyone's got fears. Everyone's got something that if they share, they think someone's going to think they're mad, bad, sad.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a journey that they'll feel some anxiety about stepping forward. And we can say wholeheartedly, we've done that. I've stepped forward in several times that I wasn't ready to do, but I like the Richard Branson's approach to life. You just say yes and learn how to do it later.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a cool like guy to look forward to, you know, like he just does what he wants. So I did want to mention that Mel and I have a workshop coming up. Mm-hmm. It's called Breaking Free of the Cycle. And this is going to be a 2-day workshop. It starts on July the 10th. And then we have the second one on July 31st. These are online workshops. You just need to be able to schedule 2 to 3 hours out of your day on those 2 days. And we're going to walk you through ways to break free of these patterns that you've been in, these cycles that you've been in. And they're going to come with some additional things. You're going to really enjoy it. It's been a pleasure to watch Mel just shine throughout all of this. Do not forget to like and subscribe. Share the YouTube channel if you can. We are a growing community. Also, don't forget about our Facebook page. It's Mel and Danielle. Outside of that, have a great day.
Thanks, Danielle. Look forward to our next podcast.
Absolutely. Bye, Mel.
Bye. We'll be right back.